is a Woodside Church podcast.
This morning's topic is on evangelism. Are you glad you came? However, it's evangelism with a twist. Okay, so it's not going to be what you expect, I think. Okay, now you may think, oh, I've heard it all before, Mark, and you may have done. But I think this is evangelism with an important twist. In fact, I've called this evangelism, less rowing, more sailing. Now, that's a phrase that has lived with us for a couple of years. It was a guy called Steve Nicholson, who Dawn and I connected with a couple of years ago. He's from the States, from the Vineyard Churches. And in fact, Steve will be with us in June. He's coming over for our Church Planting Multiply Conference. Some of you will be familiar with that. But he's going to be with us for the week. He's going to be with us on the Sunday. And so he's a great guy. He's a real man of the Spirit. And he was talking about his life and reflected that he felt that he had spent, which is ironic from Steve because he's a real man of the Spirit. He said he felt too much of his time rowing and not enough sailing. What he meant by that is putting up our sails and catching the wind of the Spirit in our lives. Whereas sometimes we can do a lot of hard work and a lot of rowing that is fine in of itself, but it's not where the Spirit is leading, and it's not where the fruit and, in some respects, the blessing that God might have for us in whatever area we're involved in. And as I was thinking about evangelism, I was reminded of this. So when we look at evangelism with a twist, the twist is less rowing, more sailing. Now, some of you may not like what I say today because you're very clear on how you do evangelism. Some of you may think, oh my goodness, this is a breath of fresh air. I'm hoping many of you think that. But I've been a Christian for 40 years. I've been a pastor for 23 of those years. And if I'm honest, for most of my Christian life, it has been difficult to reconcile some of the words of Jesus with my experience, particularly in the area of evangelism. Because Jesus said some phrases, he said many phrases, but in this context, in this subject, he said phrases like this: the harvest is plentiful. I'm thinking, is that my experience? He also said in John 4, do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest now. So there's an encouragement from Jesus to look up, to see what the harvest is there now. There's encouragement that the harvest is actually plentiful. But when I line that with most, not all, most of my Christian life, I'm thinking I'm struggling to reconcile those two things. Can anyone identify with that? Hello? Is it only me? Okay. So we could ask this question: what's gone wrong with the harvest? Did Jesus get it wrong after all? That isn't the twist, by the way, is that Jesus got it wrong. No, what I realize is that I've done too much rowing and not enough sailing when it comes to this area. I've realized that the harvest isn't everywhere. But there is a harvest. If we're willing to put up ourselves and follow some of the principles that the New Testament, particularly Jesus, teaches, then I think we will see the Spirit blow in this area in ways that maybe we've not known before. It's a bold statement, but I really do believe that. One of the things I've discovered is that the gospel flows through existing relationships. So much of our encouragement in evangelism sometimes is what you could describe as cold evangelism. It's going on the streets. It's doing something that is connecting with people that maybe you've never connected before. But actually, what I read in the Gospels is that the gospel of Jesus flows through existing relationships. I was talking with someone last week in Great Denham, because I shared this message last Sunday in Great Denham, and they came up to Dawn and I at the end, a lady that we know really well, and this woman said, I've been reaching out to my family for years and years and years with no success. And so we talked about that. We talked about how hard that is and the tension in someone's spirit and heart when that happens, when it just doesn't seem that, for whatever reason, God isn't yet moving in that situation. Yet she then went on to describe, there's this woman that she's connected with in her neighbourhood. And this woman is actually very ill. And this woman keeps saying to the lady who's from our church, says, I love it when I see you and talk to you because it does me good. And I said to the lady, and Dawn and I talked to her, said, you realise that's someone that God is beginning to draw you towards. And whereas all of her focus was, but I want to see my family saved. I want to see God move over here, which of course she does. But in the midst of that, it was like God was saying, yeah, but lift up your eyes, because there's a harvest over here. Albert Einstein is credited to have said these words, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I want us to think differently about this subject. Now, for some of you, you know where we're going. That's fine. Great. But for others, I think we need to make a shift for different reasons. I do think it's time to set sail. I mean, there's a picture, isn't there, of a boat. Did you see it? Okay, fine, okay. And so, I think it's time for us to put some sails up and catch the wind of the Spirit in this area. And I've got 7 areas that I think would help us in this whole area. And the first one is this. Be hearers and doers. Sail number one is be hearers and doers. In James chapter 1, it says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I mean, the Bible's quite comical sometimes, isn't it? Have you noticed? That's supposed to be funny. That's supposed to, yeah, that'd be silly, wouldn't it? You know, that's what it's supposed to, yeah, it's a joke. Maybe it's a dad joke. Maybe that's why I like it. But yeah, it's supposed to say, imagine someone looking in the mirror and then walking away and forgetting what you look like. Now, I have a reputation at home of looking a lot in the mirror, I want you to know. And even when I put my coat on, I'll go and, you know, check in the mirror, you know, is every hair, I can tell, is every hair still in place? Have I lost any hair recently, you know? But wouldn't it be nonsense if we walk away and forget what we look like? That's what James is saying. Be not only hearers, but doers of the word. In Matthew 28, Jesus said these words, didn't he? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'll be with you always to the very end. I think for some of us, we've got to make a shift in our hearts. They said, okay, I'm willing to go again on this. You've known disappointment. You've heard it all before, but God wants to encourage you to not only be a hearer, but actually be a doer once again. A little bit like when Jesus said to his disciples, didn't he, when they'd been fishing all night, and he said, throw your nets on the other side. I think maybe for some of us, I think there's a moment, okay, if you say, Lord, I'll throw my nets on the other side. I think some of us maybe are living with some disappointments. Maybe that ongoing lack of reconciliation of promises of the harvest and not necessarily seeing it yet, that can be wearing on people. I spoke to someone a couple of weeks ago that I was speaking on this subject, and they very honestly said to me, "I hate evangelism." I said, "Why do you hate evangelism?" He said, "Because every time I've been instructed to do this, it's always been about going on the streets and doing cold evangelism." And now, please hear me, if that's how God leads you, praise the Lord. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. But I don't think it's the main thrust of Scripture on how evangelism and how God works. And I had to apologize to this person, actually, because I realized that I had been in the background and sometimes in the foreground, the person encouraging him into that type of approach. And it had turned him off completely. So I want to say publicly, I apologize if it feels like that's the way we've done things in the past. I don't believe that's what the Bible describes primarily as the way he wants us to share our faith. Because the gospel flows through existing relationships. I tell you what, turn to the person next to you and ask them, "How did you come to faith?" And the question I'm really asking behind that is not who was preaching, not the moment, not the event. I'd like to know a little bit about the journey. Who was the person that introduced you to Jesus or introduced you to the church? Because I bet you 98% of people in here, it would have been through an existing relationship. Certainly it's been my experience, and when I've spoken to different people over the years, is it's been a family member or a friend or a work colleague. Yeah? Yeah? It does happen that it can be a stranger, but that is fairly unusual. It can happen that it's a dream. So I please hear my heart. I'm not saying God doesn't work in always, but I think there's a bit of a shift in what we should expect how God would work and therefore want to use us in. Sometimes people say they've given up because they've decided it's not for them. This was the case of this person said they hate evangelism. Or you may say, "Well, I'm not an extrovert, I'm more of an introvert." Do you know one of the best evangelists I know is my wife? She's an introvert. Weird, I know, but she's an introvert. I don't mean that, you realize that. Number one, I think we've got to make a shift from just being hearers to hearers and doers. That's a heart thing. If we don't make that, the rest won't happen. Be hearers and doers. Number two, multiply prayer. When Jesus was talking about the harvest in Luke 10, he said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest for workers." Do you remember? So his first response in the context of the harvest was prayer. Ask the Lord of the harvest. But he didn't say pray for the harvest, because the harvest is plentiful. He said pray for the workers. So some of our shift needs to be what we pray about. So we should be praying for ourselves and praying for one another. Pray for more discernment to see what God is doing in someone's life. Pray for boldness to follow God. Pray for sensitivity to others when they're beginning to open up to us and maybe open up to the gospel. Pray for a deeper love for those who are lost. There's many things. Now, it doesn't mean it's wrong to pray for our friends or the people that we're reaching out to. Of course not. But isn't it fascinating that Jesus didn't say pray for the harvest? He said, "Now pray for the workers." Amen. Number three, we're putting up sails here, yeah? Number three, actually prayer was the wind as well, wasn't it? Did you see in the picture? Number three is engage
the lost.
You see, people engage the lost in different ways. Some people don't do that at all, or rarely. But some people, for different reasons, struggle in this area. Some are very direct. Have you noticed? I mean, they're sincere, and their desire is that someone would know Christ. But sometimes people can be so direct, they meet someone for the first time and they're thinking, I've got to tell you about Jesus. He's changed my life. The problem with that, it can be like two young people, a young man and a young woman. And can you imagine the young man saying to this young woman, I'm single, you're beautiful, let's get married. Do you understand? It's like, whoa, all in. And so sometimes we can be too direct, I would submit to you. Secondly, some are too busy. We can have such busy lives, good things, that we don't get a chance to have space in our lives for those who are far from God. Sometimes people are just too distracted. It's interesting by when Jesus sent the 72 in Luke 10, we don't have time to read all these verses. He said in verse 4, do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. Now, to say in that Middle Eastern culture, do not greet someone on the road, was totally countercultural. You would always stop and connect with someone on the road. But Jesus was concerned, I believe, that those being sent weren't distracted from the calling he had on them to go and find the harvest, which is what happened on the following verses. And we can be distracted by things, even good things, which means that we don't have space in our life, or we don't have an alertness to be open to go and be with those that are opening up to us. Dawn and I have mentioned this before, but I won't say it in detail, but we're now involved in a new community group in Biggsway Sandy, and we really felt it was a lift up our heads moment. We felt God was doing something. We had some folks that we knew we wanted to connect with. And since we've done that with Gary and Christine Smith, the community group, I think we had 15 in the group on Thursday night. We're just about to start a mini alpha because some folks want to join an alpha course. And it would have been ever so easy for us to be distracted and not given our time and attention to that. But suddenly God is opening something up. And we left a great community group, Tim and Katie May, best food in Woodside. Is that, yeah? I know that's in dispute, but, you know. We've got to find our ways to engage the lost. And fourth, the fourth sale is to find people of peace. In Luke 10, verse 5, Jesus said this, when you enter a house, and when he said house, he meant household. He meant a whole community. And households in those days were big. And it wasn't just like a mum and a dad and two kids. It was a big community often. So when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from household to household. So what Jesus is talking about is for us to look for people that are open to us or open to him. He's encouraging us to be led by the Spirit, because this is sailing, not rowing, and actually have very alert sensitivities to what God is doing in someone's life. Do you remember what I said about the lady who Dawn and I talked about last week? We were able to encourage her that lady is a person of peace. She's beginning to express in different ways that she loves being with you. She gets something from being you. This lady is actually a Hindu and is longing to connect with the lady from Woodside. And so we've got to get good at identifying people of peace. Some of the ways this happens is He's people who start to open up to us on a deeper level. So often we think a person of peace is someone who says, how do I, you know, tell me how I can be saved. It's rarely that. It's more like someone who wants to open up to us on a deeper level. Or it's someone who just loves spending time with you. It's someone who's receptive to your thoughts and your opinions. It can be someone who wants a more meaningful conversation. It's someone who often is interested in spiritual matters, but not necessarily Christianity. There's an openness to spiritual matters. And of course, it can be an openness to share in an interest in your faith. And it can be someone who God is laying on your heart, of course, as the Spirit leads you. I love the journey of identifying and looking out a person of peace. One of the people in our family who God is really using remarkably at the moment is Christine Smith. I don't think Christine's here today, is she? Gary's here. Gary's on PA today. Good man, thank you. And so have a chat with Christine, if you get a chance, if you know Christine. Because God is using her in the university in town in ways that I don't think she's known before. And there's been other opportunities as well when she's had passing conversations. And she said when someone's shared something really meaningful, you know, I'm struggling with this. I've got anxiety because of this going on. You know, so they begin to open up. And Christine's really, I don't know, she's just caught hold of God in this. And so she quite simply, and she often says things like, do you know what I do when I feel like that? Is I pray or I read the Bible. And she's been amazed at how receptive people have been to that. And there's a number of people that she's sat down with and done Bible studies with on the back of that. In fact, there's a couple that come to our community group that Christine connected with, and there's Zara who got baptized. Where's Zara? I sure saw her somewhere. There she is. Zara's baptized only a few months ago. And Zara and Christine have really connected. And you just see how God's got a harvest at the university, but there's people of peace that Christine has identified. It's wonderful. It's happening, folks. Honestly. You see, I'm a bearer of small brain. And I heard some of the stories that Christine was beginning to share. So I decided that I'm just going to hang around Christine for a while. No offense, Gary. Because I could tell there's something, God's doing something. And in fact, one of the things she's using is something called Discovery Bible Study, which is spreading the world. I mean, millions of people are coming to faith with something that Christine started using. In a couple of weeks' time, I'm gonna talk a bit more about that, because it's a tool that God is really blessing. But it's only a tool. You know, unless we catch hold of the Spirit of God and His leading, it just becomes us reacting, you know, getting our Bibles out, and it's not like that. It's a wonderful tool that we're going to look at. So finding people of peace. Number five, as he looks at the clock, build into community. You know, people are longing for a place to belong. And there's nothing like church family. And so, which is why, you know, with Gary and Christine, we created this community group, and we're creating a space where people can belong. It's so important. We believe in team fishing, if you like. Jesus said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men and women. But Jesus had never seen an angler in his life. So when he thinks fishing, he thinks a whole community working together. And so we go so individualistic. It's really quite amusing. We think, well, that's my friend I'm reaching out to. No, it's not. It's our friend. Don, I love using the phrase, making your friends my friends. And then we work together. And we open up our homes. And we just see what God does. We had parties. Do you remember I talked about we need more parties a few months ago? We have parties where they're Matthew parties or Levi parties. When Levi got saved, who's also Matthew, the guy who wrote the Gospel of Matthew, following him, he's becoming a Christian. He had a party and he invited Jesus and the disciples and all his unbelieving friends and just allowed that community to mingle. It's wonderful. So we create times where we can make your friends my friends. Number six, we stay with people. See, the gospel flows through existing relationships, which means when someone is a person of peace, we stay with them not just because what God's doing in their life, but all the people behind that person that God wants to reach. So this lady, if I use example, which is a fresh one, this lady in Great Denham, the Christian who's meeting this Hindu lady, I'm thinking stay with that lady, not only for that person, give time and energy and focus and love that lady, but it's for all the people that are behind that person in relationship that God wants to reach. Yeah? And Dawn, I've seen God do this time and time again through people, so we're to stay there. The story of the Samaritan woman in John 4 is wonderful. She comes to faith. I think I've got this verse in verse 39. John 4, you remember that Jesus met a Samaritan woman at the well? So there's this amazing encounter with Jesus. But then look what happened to this lady who got saved. She went back to her town. And then in verse 39, we read this. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. See, behind that one person was a whole gathering of people that Jesus was trying to reach. And lastly, we help them discover Jesus. So there is a moment when we share our, you know, we get to the crunch, as it were. But we want to help one another in that. One of the things that post-lockdown, we talked about Woodside Church rebooted. There were some things we wanted to look back on how we built church. This would be one of them, how we do evangelism. But it's not just about our principles from what I've shared so far. It's also that we want to try and move away from having central experts. See, we, for example, we love the Alpha Course. It's a phenomenal tool that the Lord is blessing. But actually, I want all of us to be released to run Alpha Courses, not to have a specialized team to run an Alpha Course, which is what we've done in the past. In fact, next week, Hudson's going to be with us, and he's going to be talking about that, talking about how we want to equip us all to run an Alpha Course. Now, if you're not sure what an Alpha Course is, it's a weekly, often, opportunity to meet with others in community. You often have a meal together, and the way we do it, you watch a video, outstanding teaching, and then you discuss what's been shared about the Christian faith. Some in this room I recognize have been through Alpha and have been saved as a result. But we've got one running, or just about to run. It's going to be run by Gary and Christine Smith. It's going to be in their home. It's not going to be big and grand. It's going to be very sort of intimate in someone's home. But if you are looking for an Alpha course, then please, could you wave Gary? Please grab Gary at the end of the morning, because there are still some spaces. But if we run out of spaces there, we'll just start another one. And I'll probably just ask someone else if they'd like to lead an Alpha course. Because to be honest, you could all lead an Alpha course. Do you realize that? Yeah, wonderful. And as I said, the Discovery Bible study course we want to look at in a couple of weeks' time as well. Okay. I want to help us make a shift. For some of you, you may be thinking, oh, I've got this. Others, you're thinking, well, I like to do it this way. I said, well, just come with me on this. Because I really think there's a harvest out there, but we've just got to, it's not everywhere, but it is there. And we've just got to help, ask God to help us find the people of peace. See how God works through our existing relationships. And I think we will have some stories to tell in the future. Amen? Amen. Stand together, shall we? Lord God, we thank you for all that you've led us in today. We pray, Spirit of God, would you be with us as we go from this place. Lord, I pray that we would be those that would put up our sails and catch the wind of the Spirit, not just in evangelism, but in everything that we do. Lord, I pray for us as a community that we would be a people that would do less rowing and more sailing, that would be more full of the Spirit and led by the Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us this week? Would you highlight people that we're in contact with? Would you help us to see, Lord, you're working in that person's life. I'm going to hang around them for a while and see what you do. Lord, help us to be sensitive, not only in seeing what you're doing, but knowing what we should do in response. Lord, help us to know when it's the time to talk about our faith, or whether it's a moment just to love people. and just to demonstrate who you are by our actions. Lord, give us hearts for those who are far from you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to a Woodside Church podcast. For more information, visit woodsidechurch.com.